introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it
this.
To Mo Williams. Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket Podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. And we're mixing things up a little bit this week. We are going to go in a different order because we wanted to get right down to business. We have some questions for our guest this week, so we're going to go right to him right away. Bradley Gelber, how are you? Welcome to the Climbing the Pocket Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's a nice change to talk to an NFC team for one.
Well, all right. Well, before we really get into this, we'll get you warmed up with a fairly standard, easy icebreaker type of question. I guess tell us a little bit about yourself, where we can find your work.
Yeah, so I am a writer for the Bills Wire, which is USA Today's sports network, and I'm one of the staff writers there. I jump on, we have a daily podcast over there as well. And you can find me on Twitter at Bradley Gelber. Mostly Buffalo stuff, but mix it up sometimes with pictures of my dog and some other interesting life anecdotal type things as well.
There you go. Miles will, with the picture of the dog, Miles will probably be following you right after the pod. All right.
I'll just follow him too.
Well, we can hop into it here. I guess, Bradley, how is the Buffalo fan base kind of feeling about, their present and their future? Kind of outside of Buffalo, I mean, the Bills are kind of battling with the Browns as kind of a, laughing stock franchise in most kind of things that you read on Twitter or articles that get put out. But how does the fan base feel about kind of where they're going, Josh Allen, the regime that you have in place and all of those things?
Yeah, it's tough because obviously the fans are, not pleased with the product we've seen so far through two games. It's hard to fault them for that. But we kind of knew going into the season that this was going to be a tough kind of stretch, coming off a playoff run for the Bills, albeit a short-lived one in the loss to Jacksonville in the wild card game. After 17 years of not making the playoffs, though, that was quite the experience for Bills fans and those of us that cover the team, or even if you didn't really like football, just to be in Buffalo during that was kind of a cool moment. And I'm sure all the different people around the country that follow football saw the videos of them in the locker room celebrating when Andy Dalton hit Tyler Boyd for that, miracle touchdown. But, so I think the fans at least have that to kind of go off of going into this season. If you had told me they missed the playoffs last year and we were on year 18 of no playoffs and this is how the year had started, I might have a different answer for you. But it's really all about, as you kind of said, Josh Allen at this point. It's about finding out if they have finally their franchise quarterback in him. Not an ideal scenario. I don't think that anyone had planned on seeing Josh Allen this soon. I certainly hadn't. We did a staff prediction piece on when we expected Josh Allen to start, and I think I had said week 5 because the Bills have a really tough, opening 4 games with Minnesota included in that. But after you guys, they head to Green Bay and play Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So it's not been an easy go at the beginning. And I think that was part of the reason they decided to go with Nathan Peterman, was to kind of shield Josh Allen from that. But unfortunately, after that opening game, they didn't really have much of a choice but to go to Josh. So I guess it's going to be a learning by fire at this point. So I think the fans are, understanding of the situation the Bills are in. But as long as it means that they've at least found their franchise quarterback, or that they're going to be good in the future, because we've seen too many times over the years that, there's promises of the Bills being good in a couple of years if they suffer now, and then we just keep suffering. So I think that that's kind of where the fans are at. And, we understand that, Buffalo's kind of the laughing stock, if you will, at this point. You know, the jokes are pretty running rampant at this point, especially after Vontae Davis decided to retire at halftime. I know there was, you know, a lot of people were saying, well, can you blame him when he plays for the Bills and all that? So, you know, I think we all kind of take it in stride, but I think people are kind of understanding, but no one likes to lose at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you mentioned Nathan Peterman, and so this is something for those of us, obviously, you know, not in the market, not following the team as closely as I'm sure you do. How did he beat Josh Allen out in camp, or did he beat Josh Allen out in camp? Because most of us just remember that, you know, I think it was 5-interception game against the Chargers last year, and that's kind of burned in as the impression of Nathan Peterman, and then, you know, he beats Josh Allen out and then comes out and it's awful all over again. Like, what happened there? Is it just a matter of them wanting to hide Josh Allen, or was there actually a legitimate competition through the summer?
No, there was definitely a legitimate competition. And, you know, I read something interesting, kind of, I actually wrote a piece on it. There was an article that came out that basically stated that, I forget which national reporter said it, but basically it might've been Ian Rappaport, but someone said that the Bills, at least based on their knowledge of sources or whatnot, had said they were kind of prepared to go with Josh Allen. Josh started the third game of the preseason, and it went poorly at that point, but it really wasn't a fair kind of trial for Josh, because the Bills were doing all sorts of crazy stuff with their offensive line and moving guys around and, you know, practicing for situations if there was a mid-game injury, things like that. So Josh was kind of stuck behind this makeshift offensive line that wasn't really a fair go. But Nathan Peterman actually had one of the best preseasons I've ever seen a quarterback had. He actually had over an 80% completion percentage. So, you know, people outside the market, like you said, kind of get this impression of him as this 5-interception, horrific first game, you know, in the pros. But then he actually did come back and he started the – or he came in for the game when they played Indianapolis in the snow game, which, you know, I'm sure outside markets might have saw that when there was snow everywhere. And he helped them win that game, albeit he got injured at the very end of the game. But so he had a fantastic preseason. And I really truly believe that, you know, the Bills wanted to go with Josh Allen to start the season. You know, there's been some mixed kind of things. Sean McDermott's a very – you know, traditional head coach. He gives very little to the media. He, you know, he believes in true competition and all that. So, you know, while they may have been excited by some of the things they saw from Josh, once he labeled it an open competition, there was really no way you could say Nathan Peterman didn't win the competition. I'm just looking at some of his stats. He had, like I said, 80.5 completion percentage. He had 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, 431 yards in 3 games in the preseason. So, you know, and the other thing we didn't mention was AJ McCarron was here too. And he was brought in the offseason to, you know, I guess if you want to call it the veteran of them, even though he didn't really have much experience either. But, you know, he was obviously traded away to Oakland at the end of the preseason because they felt that Josh was going to be the number 2 and Nathan was going to be number 1. So yeah, it really was a competition, but you know, obviously things change when the games start counting and defenses start actually scheming for you and not playing such vanilla coverages. Things change quickly. And as I mentioned, they kind of had no choice but to turn to Josh after that first regular season game.
Hey, Bradley, JR here. Thanks for coming on. We all know that Josh Allen was a huge project. He was one of the most polarizing prospects coming into the draft. And a lot of us knew that the Bills were going to be looking for a quarterback. Now that you guys have that quarterback in place, Josh Allen is the future. So what are fans looking for and what are their expectations for him, not only as a rookie, but for his future outlook as well?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Prior to the draft, there was a large contingent, if not most of the people, at least I know in Buffalo or converse with on Twitter or fans and whatnot, that firmly did not want Josh Allen drafted by the Buffalo Bills. And it's hard because you get caught up in the stuff you read on Twitter or you read, you know, writers that you like to follow, and you listen to sports talk radio and all this different stuff. And there was just this growing, you know, I don't want to say it was all negative, but for the most part, it was, you know, all we heard about was the inaccuracy and the inability to perform at Wyoming, and they didn't have any real competition, and just all the things that were kind of the knocks on Josh Allen. And, you know, I was one of the ones, I was kind of high on Josh Rosen. I thought that, you know, when he fell to the Bills there, I was kind of, you know, hoping they would take him. And when they went with Allen, it was tough not to be, you know, disappointed, I guess, at the time. You know, Twitter was, you would have thought that the Bills, you know, went 0-16 or something. I mean, it was terrible. Like, people were just so upset. And that happens. I think sometimes you get that snowball effect where one person, two people, three, all of a sudden everyone's kind of on that same thought. And once you kind of gave it some time and you let it sink in, and you started watching some of the film on Josh, and you started reading some of the more positive things about him, people kind of quickly change their tune. And I think that happens with any fan base. Once a guy's on your team, you kind of have no choice but to get behind them. So, you know, I think at this point that Bills fans are really excited about Josh Allen. And, you know, we all see the highlight reel throws in training camp or the preseason when he airs out these, you know, 60, 70 yard throws where he just has this, you know, we've all heard about his unbelievable arm, but it was good to see in the preseason he was working on some of the things that were the knocks against him. So the shorter soft throws, the underneath routes, things like that, that he had issues with in college. It was good to see that, but, you know, obviously he's a rookie. He's going to struggle. And I think that Bills fans are understanding of that. You know, I think we all kind of are trying to limit our expectations, but it's tough when you see a guy like Patrick Mahomes that's just tearing it up right now. You know, he's in his second year, obviously, but he only played one game last year. You know, the Bills had an opportunity to draft Mahomes. So, and they chose to trade back in the draft. So that's something that's currently this storyline that's kind of each week, every, you know, last week he has 10 touchdowns through two games, and Bills fans are starting to get that, you know, head for the fear bunker, I think, if you will, at this point with Patrick Mahomes. But I think they truly are excited for Josh. And I think what they, to answer your question about what they're hoping to see for this year, I think they just want to see progress. You know, each game we kind of hear from Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll and Josh himself, and says he's doing little things to improve. So if we can kind of get through his rookie year and feel that he can kind of handle the pressures of being an NFL quarterback, and we see improvement, that's not too high of a bar, I'd say. I think at that point, Bills fans will feel pretty good, and, you know, them will have a bit higher expectations for him in year two, when the Bills have, I believe it's a little over $90 million in cap space and some draft picks to hopefully bolster the offense. Because at this point, his surrounding cast is not the greatest, to put it politely.
Hey, Bradley, that's a perfect segue into the question I had. You know, we talk about, you know, you talk about Josh Allen being a rookie quarterback. We know about LeSean McCoy in terms of how good he is when he's healthy, but in terms of the rest of the supporting cast, is there any guys that you think could potentially look to step up, or any guys that you at least have some hope for, or, you know, that we could anticipate seeing making moves on?
Yeah, so there's actually a guy by the name of Robert Foster who was from Alabama. You know, he came in really, you know, for the practice squad, and then, you know, he's kind of all of a sudden become a guy that Josh had good chemistry with in the preseason. He's their fastest receiver by far, and they have no speed at wide receiver at all. So to have him kind of starting to mix into it, he's definitely a playmaker that is starting to get talked about a little bit here. Obviously, he has familiarity working with Brian Daboll at Alabama. So that's a guy, I think, that not many people, even in Buffalo, don't really know much about him. So outside of Buffalo, unless you know, college football, you might know about him. But that's a guy that maybe can develop a little bit, since he seems to have chemistry with Josh. And, you know, another guy, Marcus Murphy is a guy that really no one knew about heading into the season. And Chris Ivory was brought in to kind of be LeSean McCoy's backup, you know, a veteran guy, veteran presence, kind of provide that, you know, physicality that he brings to his game. Marcus Murphy's a little bit more of a LeSean McCoy type in that he's quick and he kind of resembles more of a playmaker. So I was really pleased with his preseason. He was a guy I listed in that same piece I told you when we were doing our, you know, regular season predictions. He was a guy that I thought might be, I picked as kind of my breakout player. So he hasn't had a great opening two games, but then again, no one on the Bills offense really has. So I still expect more from him. And I think that, you know, LeSean McCoy is battling a rib injury now, and he's not even 100% necessarily going to go for the Vikings game. Although at this point, I think he'll play. It's about pain tolerance at this point, but I think Marcus Murphy could have a bigger role come Sunday, and he kind of already beat out Chris Ivory in terms of touches heading into the regular season. So he's another guy I would keep my eye out on the offensive side. And then obviously there's a bit of a more well-known guy in Zay Jones. Obviously he had a bit of a tumultuous offseason with his issues that kind of sparked at an apartment or a hotel there, and there's some legal issues that went on and all that. But basically Zay had a tough rookie year, and the knock on him was drops. He had a lot of drops last year. So he's a talented kid though, and you hope he can kind of figure it out and turn things around. So you know, with Kelvin Benjamin being their number one, Zay's kind of the number two guy. And we keep hoping to see maybe that he'll be able to step up a little bit more, you know, as his second year goes on.
How are you doing, Bradley? I mean, you did talk about, you know, some of the young players that you feel can step up, but going into this game, you know, it is going to be about some of those established players and whatnot. So what do you feel is really the keys to the victory if, you know, for Buffalo to really pull out this game against Minnesota?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really tough question just because, you know, how strong of a team Minnesota has and how good of a deep on the defense they are, especially versus a rookie quarterback and Josh Allen. You know, Josh talked about it today after practice. He said one of the keys he thought was, you know, the offense has to start fast and they have to be able to put points up on the board right away. And I agree with him, but that's going to be a tough task any time for a rookie quarterback, let alone versus, you know, Minnesota's defense. So I think really one of the keys to the game is the defense has kind of, we knew the offense would struggle, but the Bills kind of rode the defense to the playoffs last year. They had so many key turnovers last year. I couldn't tell you how many times right when you knew they needed to take away the ball, they were able to do it. And it really took pressure off the offense last year. And these opening two games have been really tough for the Bills defense. We did not expect them to struggle this much. You know, Sean McDermott actually at halftime last game took away play calling duties from Leslie Frazier because the Bills had given up 28 points in the first half. And Sean kind of talked about it this week. He said going forward, it's going to be a collaborative type of thing with the play calling, which to me kind of says, you know, Leslie's in some hot water. But, you know, Sean said as the head coach, he has to kind of step in when he thinks is necessary. And, you know, being down 28 points is not really a realistic way to win any NFL game, let alone when you have a rookie quarterback. So I think that a key to the game for the Bills is just going to have their, you know, the defense needs to play better and needs to limit, you know, points scored on them. And they also have to get the ball back. You know, hopefully they can force some three and outs and get the ball back in Josh's hands so they can try and get some points. Because I read a stat today, I believe Bill Barnwell from ESPN wrote, the Bills had given up something like 41. They had been outscored 41-0 in the first half of the first two games, which is the most in like forever, like a super long time. It's like a record for that. So definitely need to find a way to get some points on the board and limit kind of what the Vikings are able to do on offense, which are both tall tasks at this point, especially given that this is, you know, a road game in Minnesota. It's going to be Josh's first start on the road. So I think we're kind of bracing ourselves for another game that could get out of hand quickly, but you know, hopefully they're able to at least keep it close for most of the game.
All right, Bradley, there's just there's two more things. I guess there's technically three more things we need to get from you before we get you out of here tonight. First question, very important. Have you ever jumped through a flaming table?
No, I have not ever jumped through a flaming table. I will never jump through a flaming table. Okay. Yeah, it's actually funny though. Last week, I don't know if you guys saw, but I wrote a piece on this too. They actually, the local sheriff's department actually released a statement prior to the regular season or the home opener that they're going to start not only ejecting people from the like tailgating and not allow them into the game, but there could be they could be free for doing this, and fans obviously kind of got upset and were not too happy. But I called the sheriff's office to find out kind of what the details were. And it was actually only on, you know, they don't have any legal say over what you do on private property. So it was only on lots owned by the Buffalo Bills. But just the fact that people were getting upset that they couldn't do that, I was like, well, why do you need to jump through tables to begin with? So, you know, I do want to say, though, just to stress it a little bit, that the stuff you guys see on, you know, these websites where, you know, it looks like every Bills fan is belligerent and lighting themselves on fire, that's only, you know, a portion of the fan base. It's not everyone. And there are a lot of people that like to tailgate and have fun, but do it in a way that, you know, they're not causing themselves any bodily harm while doing so.
Hey, those people just like to party. And the last things we got for you here, we need your score prediction and a bold prediction for this game.
All right. Well, I kind of thought this through. You know, it's tough because I really do think Minnesota has a very good team. You know, I kind of already laid out the reasons I'm skeptical about the Bills being able to hang in this one. You know, if it was in Buffalo, maybe I'd be a little more confident that they could hang in there. But I'm going to go with 31-13 Minnesota. You know, we'll see if that holds true. I think last week I predicted I predicted something like 23-13. So I was close, but not quite. But I'll go with 31-13 Minnesota. And my bold prediction of the game is that the Bills, well, I'll say he'll have more touchdowns than he does interceptions. And that is a very bold statement because I think Minnesota has a great defense, but I think they're going to limit what they have Josh do on the road. I think that, you know, we all hear about, you know, I don't know how much you guys talk about it being in the know, but all you hear about from the outside is the crowd noise and how, you know, it's unbelievably loud at their new stadium there. So that he's never really, you know, going to Wyoming, he never really had to play in super, you know, loud SEC or any of those type of stadiums where they could kind of get it used to the noise. So he said that's going to be an adjustment for him. And when I heard him say that, I thought, oh great, that's exactly what we want to hear, is another adjustment. But I think they'll do some things to try to limit kind of putting him in a position to turn the ball over. The thing about Josh is he's going to take a couple shots in the game. That's who he is as a quarterback. And that's going to mean that he turns the ball over a bit more, but hopefully in the long run, that means he's, you know, able to connect on some and have some success. So that's my bold prediction, that he has more touchdowns than he does turnovers versus the Minnesota defense.
Awesome. Well, that's it. We made it. Bradley, thank you so much for coming on the Climbing the Pocket podcast, and yeah, have a good night, man.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for having me, guys. And I'd say good luck, but you know, I gotta pull for the home team. So
we wouldn't mean it if we said it. So you know, it's all fair.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, gentlemen. A lot of great information there from Bradley. And before we jump into the regular show, we you know, we got to do our little interlude here, as the listeners should know by now. Climbing the Pocket is brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. And so we're going to do a little interlude here, a little intermission, brought to you by Thrive Fantasy, because we got to check in on how everyone did on their bets from last week. So as everyone should know, Yinka is the person that you need to go to get all your picks. You know, in week one, Yinka was perfect with all of his picks. We'll see if things keep going that way for him as we move things along here. So the first bet we had for last week was Phillip Rivers over or under 275.5 yards. JR took the over. Unfortunately, Phillip Rivers only had 256 passing yards. JR did not win that one. Next up, we had Tyreek Hill over or under 77.5 receiving yards. And Miles, actually, this one was a close one. Miles was actually sweating this out for a little bit, but Tyreek got there at the over, 90 yards for Tyreek Hill. And then Saxy Prince, Dalvin Cook over or under 85.5 yards total. Saxy Prince snuck in there with the over, 90 total yards for Dalvin. So Yinka is perfect on the season thus far. So again,
I mean, you could have just stopped at perfect. So I mean
let's not go crazy here.
We would have been good right there, but
on the season, these picks, Yinka is perfect. So again, you know, if you need some advice on what to do, holler at the Saxy Prince and let's roll this thing along. Week 3. Here we go. JR, more touchdowns this week, Fitzmagic or Pat Mahomes?
Got to say Mahomes.
Okay, all right.
I think that's going to be a shootout between them and San Francisco.
All right, so we're locking it in with Mahomes. Miles Gorham, over or under 9.5 receptions from Michael Thomas? Beating Miles Gorham took himself off mute. Can y'all hear Miles? Because I can't hear Miles. No, there he is. Miles. Okay, we're gonna skip Miles. We'll go to Prince, and then we'll bring it back because we see Miles taking himself off mute, but we can't hear Miles talking. Maybe make sure the microphone is plugged in there, Miles. Saxy Prince, who's gonna have more rushing yards this week, Giovanni Bernard or Lamar Miller?
That's a good one, Jason. Let me just I'm gonna go with Lamar Miller.
Okay, Lamar. And we'll bring this thing right back around. Miles, you there? Miles?
Yeah, hello.
There he is. Microphone plugged back in, good to go. Over under 9.5 receptions. Michael Thomas.
Who do they play?
You're supposed to figure that out before you get on the show.
Over.
Come on, Miles.
Over.
Okay, Miles is taking the over. 10-plus receptions from Michael. Should have been a Viking, Thomas. Okay. And this segment is always brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Click the link in the show notes. Sign up for an account. Make a deposit. Hit up Saxy Prince. He'll help you make your picks. You win money. Support the pod. Everyone wins. Let's go. Let's talk some Vikings. All right. So, JR, before we get into this week, everybody else, you know, was on immediately after the game. And to quote Gabs, Miles was big mad after that game. Good times, though. And so we got, you know, Saxy Prince's breakdown. We got Miles's breakdown. We didn't really get your breakdown of what happened in that game. So just real quick, I know that you've watched a couple times now at this point. What were your thoughts on how that game went overall?
Yeah, it definitely was probably one of the more entertaining games between the Vikings and the Packers of recent memory that I can remember. First half was so-so, but the action really cranked up in the second half. From an offensive standpoint, it left a lot to be desired in the first half. I thought they came out very timid. They didn't really test the Packers' secondary deep as much as I thought they would, considering how young they were out wide at the cornerback positions and how unreliable they were on the back end with their safeties. They started testing them a bunch more and taking more deep shots down the field in the second half. So the second half game plan that they had, that's the game plan that I thought they would come out and execute in the first half. And I really don't know why they came out so shy in the first half. Maybe John DeFilippo just didn't trust his offensive line against their interior front, which they played really well. The Green Bay Packers interior front of Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark were very impressive. I thought they had their way with the Vikings interior, specifically Brett Jones. He just could not handle them all day long. But Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, they came to play the entire game, and I really liked what I saw out of Kirk Cousins, especially in the second half. He made some big-time throws, and yes, he got bailed out one time by Clay Matthews, but outside of that, I thought he played extremely well, and I thought he played his best game as a pro on Sunday versus the Packers. So Kirk Cousins is really – he's been really impressive so far, in my opinion, especially last game. He made some big-time throws. He hung in the pocket despite being pressured a lot throughout the game, but he kept his eyes downfield, and he made some impressive reads and some impressive throws. And he always gave you a glimmer of hope when he was in there, and that's just a feeling that we haven't had, especially last year with Case Keenum and some periods with Sam Bradford. So there was always a glimmer of hope when Kirk Cousins was in there, which is a great thing to have and just symbolizes what a franchise quarterback can be. And Kirk Cousins has shown if he can have that same type of playing style in the second half throughout the year, I think he's going to be well worth the money. So let's see if he can sustain that level of play. But as long as the offensive line continues to hold up, I think he'll be just fine. If they continue to protect him the way they did in that second half, I think he can have a breakout season considering the weapons that the Vikings do have. A concern that I do have with the Vikings offense is the lack of running game right now. It's been very disappointing. The offensive line is not getting a lot of push up front, and they're going to have a resemblance of a running game at some point this year. I know they want to throw the ball all over the field and feed their playmakers on the perimeter, but at some point they have to get Dalvin Cook going and Latavius Murray going in between the tackles or on these outside zone runs, because they're going to need to have a resemblance of a running game at some point this year. Flipping to the other side of the ball, I thought the Vikings defense played so-so. It seemed much worse than what it really was, especially in the first half. They only gave up, I believe it was 17 points in the first half, but one of those was a blocked field goal. So really they a blocked punt for a touchdown. So they really only gave up 10 points at the half. I thought they buckled down a bit in the second half, but Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers. He didn't really have one of those huge back-breaking throws, but it was a death by a thousand cuts. He didn't really make a lot of mistakes throughout the game, but he was his usual self. And I would like to see the Vikings defense create more turnovers. That's something they were able to do against Jimmy Garoppolo, but they just weren't able to do that against Aaron Rodgers, and it was a bit disappointing with their third down conversion. They just weren't able to get off the field on third down. So that's just some areas that I would like to see them improve upon in this next game against the Bills.
All right. Well, after the game, because a lot happened during that game, a lot of stuff happened, a lot of things that got, a lot of people really worked up there. And, obviously the most, the most egregious, the thing that, sparked probably a lot more conversation than we ever really would want to have about special teams and kicking in particular, was the fact that the player that the Vikings went and traded up to draft, which was a clear violation of the draft commandments, missed all three of his field goals. So he was let. Now they let him go. And then Stacy Coley, he had some drops, couldn't stay healthy. They let him go. And then the Seahawks, thought they were being kind of slick, had a handshake agreement with Tom Johnson or something where they were going to cut him and bring him back. But then he was like, nah, they're not good. I'm going to go back to this team I used to play for. So they let David Perry go. So I guess, JR, I'll start with you with all of these moves and everything that happened. The thing that seems to have fans the most excited is the signing of Dan Bailey. What are your thoughts on Dan Bailey joining the Vikings? And do you think this will finally, add some of that stability that we've needed to the kicking game that seems to have been missing for as long as I can remember?
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and act like that I've watched kicker film constantly, because I haven't. I just know he's been a very accurate kicker in the past. I believe the Vikings were pumping out that he's the second most accurate kicker in NFL history. So, and I think one of the biggest reasons why the Cowboys did end up releasing him is because he was just causing too much money against the cap. I was really surprised that he was a free agent to this point, and it really was a blessing in disguise that Carlson was let go at this point, because it's better to find that issue now early on in the season instead of having it break their backs down the backstretch of the season or even in the playoffs, or have a situation similar to a Blair Walsh situation in 2015. So maybe it was a blessing in disguise to get Dan Bailey this early. Hopefully he's able to be consistent and come in and provide the stability that we've needed from a kicker from a very long time.
No kicker film from JR. We need you to step it up, man. Slacking on us here. Slacking here with no kicker. Saxy Prince, my man. I know you were really excited about the move with Tom Johnson coming back. I guess can you break it down for us? Let us know what your full thoughts on that whole situation, because you know it's a cold world. Our man Perry had probably his best game ever, and then they were like, "All right, well, you got to go pack your stuff."
Well, yeah, I mean, for me, David Perry, I didn't really have him as a guy that was going to make the roster. When he did, I was surprised. I always thought he, you know, was a guy who was always going to be on the bubble. He did have a great game, but when you can bring back a guy like Tom Johnson, who for, you know, really 2 years was kind of playing that three technique role, starting three technique role, because we didn't have Sharif Floyd. You just add him to an already very deep interior defensive line with LaFall Joseph and Sheldon Richardson, and now you can take some of those guys out and let them be a lot more healthy, because let's be honest, Tom Johnson can start on, you know, some teams at three technique, but to have him back and have him know that he knows the system quite well, you basically let him go last season to get Sheldon Richardson and himself. So I think this was a fantastic move for the Vikings. It's a move that, I don't know, it just seems like after this week, the Vikings got even better for maybe some of the areas that they were not as strong as. But, I mean, we had a strong interior defense line, so I can't even say that. But it was a week where you get Bailey, you get Tom Johnson, and obviously if anybody else gets injured, I don't think David Perry's going to get signed, so you can always bring him back. So the fact that you can upgrade a position and then have kind of a safety net after that, I think is fantastic.
All right. And, you know, we had to leave this one to last because, you know, Miles has been telling us for a long time that one day we will listen to him. And once again, you know, we probably should have listened to Miles, because Miles told us, again, you know, listen to the Climbing the Pocket podcast. Follow the Climbing the Pocket crew on Twitter. You get tomorrow's news today. Miles Gorham, I think the only person that I saw on Vikings Twitter predicting that Aldrick Robinson could be someone the Vikings maybe could or should look at. Miles, tell us about, again, why we should listen to you, but also tell us about, you know, Aldrick Robinson and what dynamic he's going to bring to the Vikings offense.
Yeah, I think just the biggest thing that he's going to bring for this team is a veteran presence that has some chemistry with Kirk Cousins. He followed, like a lot of offensive players, he's followed Kyle Shanahan around the league a little bit. Started in Washington, he went down to Atlanta, and then last year he was with San Francisco. So I think there's a similarity in terms of the offensive style that he's played in that translates well for this team. That chemistry with Kirk Cousins, I think they played together back in Washington in 2012 and 13, I think the years were. But Robinson, like I said, he's a veteran guy. He's a speedster, so he can get downfield. He can make plays. He catches the ball, which is what you need him to do. And just at the end of the day, he's just the type of guy that, you know, he's gonna do his job when you need him to. You need a guy to step in and make a couple plays. He can do that. So I think that's really what this team needed. They're missing. They're missing that guy that you could just rely on when you need somebody. So I was excited for them to get him, just because I think he is an upgrade over Kendall Wright, because he's a little bit more versatile. He can get downfield. He could play inside and outside, which is important. We know Kendall Wright was more of a slot only type of receiver. So getting this type of guy to be able to stretch the field a little bit more is something I think this offense was missing as well. And I like Stacy Coley. I thought the potential was there, but he's definitely not the type of guy that you like had to keep around. So I understand why they did what they did, and moving on from him. And that that blunder that Coley had in the end zone on that kick return was, I mean, it's egregious. I mean, it's terrible. So there's not much more you can say about it.
Well, all right, then. We don't want to get you down that path again.
I'm calm.
Or maybe we do. I mean, that was good stuff. People enjoyed seeing, you know, that side of the normally laid back, super optimistic Miles, just, you know, letting it all out immediately after the game. That was good times. Hopefully we won't have any of that this week, because you know, looking at things here, this looks like one of those games that, you know, the Vikings should win fairly handily. I mean, the opening line on this game was, and it's still there, 16.5 points. The Vikings are 16.5 point favorites, easily the biggest favorite on the week for this game, with the Bills coming to town. JR, I'll start with you, I guess. What are your thoughts on this game? And, like, is there a way that the Bills could upset the Vikings? Like, is there any way that the Vikings could lose this game?
Yeah, absolutely. How? I think there is. And you talk about looking ahead to the game next Thursday against the Rams. I think that's the simple answer for this. If they overlook this team, anything can happen. Anybody can be beaten on any given Sunday. And we talk about the Vikings being this dominant team. And I expect them, or they should expect themselves, to be able to distance themselves from this team. We talk about the Vikings being a dominant team, as I alluded to earlier. They need to express their will or impose their will on this team, because they're expected to be a top team in the NFL, and they need to treat this team like the team that they're expected to be. And what I mean by that is, if you're such a mighty power in the NFL or such a great team, and you're playing a lower-tier team in the NFL, you should be able to separate from this team and win comfortably. And that's what I expect this team to do. And this game reminds me a lot of the Bengals game from last year. We know the Bengals were down and out. They were defeated. They had a lot of distractions going on. And they just didn't have a lot of talent on that team. And I don't even think this Bills team is even as talented as that Bengals team was last year when they played them. I believe it was in like week 15 or week 16, something like that. So this is the team that the Vikings are expected to beat. And I expect them to be able to distance themselves from this team. And if they're not able to do that, then the Vikings have some real serious issues.
Okay. Miles, I know Bradley talked about it a little bit, but I know that, you know, you go out there, you pay attention to the pass catchers on these other teams, and it's something we talk about a lot. Like, are there any of the matchups that you look at where, you know, you see an advantage for the Bills offensively, or you see something that they may have with their personnel that they have, where they may be able to attack or find a weakness or find something to exploit offensively that might help them move the ball against the Vikings?
Honestly, the only thing I see, you know, we know that LeSean McCoy, he's got fractured ribs, but I would assume he's going to go. He's just that type of player. But the two players that I see, I don't even know if you find them, you call them mismatches, but LeSean McCoy in space as a pass catcher, I think could cause some problems. And this is kind of weird to think about, but their fullback, Patrick DeMarco, he's the kind of guy, he's a little bit more of an athletic fullback that can catch the ball. He could create a little bit of fits, kind of like a Kyle Juszczyk in that way. So if they wanted to kind of get them out in space against a guy like Ben Gideon or something like that, I think that could be a decent opportunity for them. But otherwise, there really isn't anything. The last time the Vikings played Kelvin Benjamin, they held him to zero catches and 0 yards. Zay Jones has not really looked like the kind of player coming out of college people thought he was going to be. I know Bradley talked about Robert Foster, but he's not the type of guy I'm afraid of at all. So there really isn't much that this team has. Charles Clay could – I would assume that the Bills are trying to game plan for the fact that they might try to get Charles Clay in space a little bit more. Get him downfield. That'd be the only other option I could see, because we've seen the Vikings struggle against some athletic tight ends so far this year. So that's the only other option I really see. I don't really see much else.
Thank you for putting some good effort on that. You know, like, you actually dug deep on that, and you tried hard, and I appreciate it, Miles. That hard work you're doing there does not go unnoticed. I felt the need to call that out because you dug deep. And that's very important.
For sure.
Yeah, the listeners appreciate it. Saxy Prince, I'm not going to make you go down the same path and explain how the Bills might be able to pull this thing out. I'm just going to go ahead and have you get us kicked off here with your bold prediction and your score prediction. Let us know how it's going to go down.
Well, my bold prediction actually is my score prediction. My bold prediction or score prediction is this will be the first game in a long time that the Vikings will put up 50 points. Ooh. Against an opposing team, and to the tune of 50-10. It's not going to be pretty at all. It's going to be all Vikings on both sides of the field. There's going to be one defensive touchdown. There's going to be multiple offensive touchdowns. And really, every offensive weapon is going to get in the end zone. I said offensive weapon.
Okay. JR, my man. Bold prediction, score prediction.
I got a Vikings 31, Bills 6. I think they'll find a way to get two field goals off Josh Allen prayer ball. Somehow somebody will come down with it.
You're so generous with the two field goals.
Yeah, they'll find a way to get two field goals out of it. I got the Vikings defense forcing at least 5 turnovers. That's my bold prediction.
Okay. Miles.
Score prediction, I have 34-13. I think the Bills will score like a garbage time touchdown at the end. Otherwise, I think from my bold prediction, Kyle Sloter gets in the game tomorrow or on Sunday. Is that a bold prediction? Guys, what am I supposed to be excited about?
If Floater plays, I mean, you know, Don will be happy.
No, all right. Mike Boone scores his for a touchdown on Sunday.
Mike Boone is active. That could be bold.
Active and contributes.
Okay. And Lat Murray might be the play in DFS this week.
Yeah,
in DraftKings
probably would be. Yeah.
And I am going to go with I'm going to go with 31-0. I think Vikings defense is going to pitch a shutout because they need it. Oh, do we have a shutout in the Zimmer era? Well, I'm going to go ahead and say this is the week we get it. If we don't, then if we don't.
We had one last year against the Packers.
Okay, well, we're about to have another one. Yep. About to have another one against these Bills. And it's going to be a bad day for Josh Allen. Unfortunately, Bradley's prediction will not come true because Josh Allen will have all the turnovers as the Vikings defense gets the shutout. So like Yinka, my bold prediction and my score prediction, kind of the same. I feel like we're getting the shutout. That's it. That's all the stuff we had to cover today. JR, I know that you teased it a little bit today. But what you got going on? What's coming up? What you working on, man?
Yeah, so I got the mailbag dropping tomorrow on climbingthepocket.com. Also, got a breakdown of my favorite routes so far ran by Stephon Diggs. I do an in-depth breakdown of the touchdown against Akilah Weatherspoon in week one against the 49ers, the two-point conversion last week against the Packers, and also the touchdown against the Packers last week. So there'll be three routes I'll be breaking down on InsideThePylon.com.
Boom. Love it. Miles Gorham. AKA Luke? I don't know. What's going on? What you been up to? What's going on? You make any appearances or anything this week? Anything that people should be looking for?
Yeah, I was on the Andy Arif, Luke, and now Miles show.
No, he can even get a call out on his own stuff right there.
No, we knew that was gonna happen. He light skinned.
Yeah, cold world.
Hey,
man.
Hey.
But y'all cousins though. Y'all cousins.
What do we learn?
We are though. We are. I gotta give him that.
Yeah, no.
23 and me.
No. I was on with them last night. It was a great time. I appreciate them having me on. Yinka was late as always, which, you know, we expected.
First of all, the producer wasn't there, and the show don't start till the producer gets there, so I was on time.
That's like when you walk into class with your teacher. You can't be late when the professor's walking in with you.
Right.
I got it before him, and I just sat in my seat, so he didn't even know that I was just walking in. So
they knew.
No, but I was on there last night, so look out for that. Be on the lookout for that. But I'm traveling. I'll be out of town, out of Minnesota for the next week, starting on Sunday. So, yeah.
What part of the country are you going to be in?
You know, I'm going to be in Texas for half the week, like okay. Lubbock, Texas.
You probably got some good barbecue or something you can get
that's,
out there, though.
That's the hope. And then I go to, well, I'm only in Memphis for one day, but I go to Arkansas for a few days to end the week. And then I end my week in Memphis. So, you know, I'm about to get some grub on there.
Oh, man, you got to go and, like, in each of these places, find, like, a local dive barbecue spot and just throw down and let us know how the barbecue was at all. Because everywhere you're going to, sound like it seems like places go have some good barbecue.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to find some, like, low-level spots that nobody, you know, some local spots that you're like, man, that's greasy, but it's delicious.
But it's delicious. You need it. Faxi Prince, man, what you been up to? Other than Miles, getting bumped Miles, off your own show.
If you don't have someone named Hernando in the back, man, you can't even go to that spot.
I don't even
man.
Know what to think of that.
I mean, in Texas, that'll probably happen.
Yeah, there's going to be someone named Hernando, and you know he's going to throw down. So make sure you're at that spot. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm actually surprising my little brother. He's been coaching a high school team. And they won their last couple of games or whatever. He's a wide receiver and DB coach. So I want to surprise him over at that game. So.
All right. Okay. Got any articles or anything in the works? Anything you're working on like that? You know, I mean, you're gonna have to find some other stuff to do now that Miles is taking over on your other show.
Yeah, I know, man. I just story of my life.
Yeah, well, you know. Well, you know, we'll tease a little bit. Next week, we hope to have some exciting news that we can share with y'all about, you know, the Saxy Prince and some of the great work that he's doing in his other pursuits. But we can't really talk about it right now. So next week, we'll talk about all that. Not yet. But that's it. That's all. We made it. We got through everything we wanted to today. Listeners, thanks for sticking with us. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on. This has been another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. And we will talk to you soon. Have a good one.